Welcome to the Amphibolous podcast. This is a podcast, I guess. It's a companion to the Amphibolous podcast. And it's the sermon blog for St. Albans. Amphibolous was the saint that made St. Alban a saint, or maybe it's the other way around, but Amphibolous is this, was this priest in Roman-era Britain who was preaching and spreading the gospel, and then he got into a little bit of trouble with the authorities because Christianity was illegal, and the authorities wanted to come and kill him, and this guy named Alban let him stay in his house, even though he wasn't a Christian. But slowly over time, Alban was converted, and from that conversion, when they finally tracked down Amphibolous, St. Alban went in his place and became the first martyr of the church in England. And that is who St. Alban, our church in Spirit Lake, Iowa, is named after. So that's why the blog is called what it's called. And that's why this podcast, I guess, is why it's called what it's called. It's kind of supposed to go together. Not everybody likes to read. I am one of those people. Maybe you have a learning disability. Maybe you're just a different kind of learner, but I want to try to reach out to all people here. This first podcast that I'm trying to do is for Ascension Day. Ascension Day is part of the church year. It is called a Feast of Our Lord, that Lord being Jesus. And feasts of our Lord are major events in the life of Jesus. And this, so you have the Feast of the Nativity, the Feast of Jesus being born, and you also have the Feast of the Resurrection, or the Paschal Feast, and that's Easter, right? And technically, it's not good to tier things, I suppose, but technically this is right there along those lines. So I wanted to provide the people of St. Albans, the people who support my ministry, something to mark the occasion. So this is the beginning of the Amphibolous podcast. It might be the end. I don't know if this is going to be a good thing or a bad thing, but we're going to give it a go. So, welcome and happy Ascension Day. I don't know if the forces of technology and the angels of the good Lord conspire, as I pray they will. You will be listening to this on Ascension Day. So, let's begin with the collect for Ascension Day. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to have ascended into heaven, so we may also in heart and mind there ascend, and with him continually dwell, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. I wanted to read, so there are some readings for today. In a perfect world, we'd be having Eucharist. That's how you keep the feast. So if we can't feast on the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us feast on a different kind of bread, the Word of God. I want to read you the epistle for today first. This is a letter to the Ephesians. I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for those who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above the rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fits all in all. Whoa, a little wordy there. Paul, well, here's the problem. We're used to hearing English. We're not used to hearing Greek. And this is Greek written in English. And so the run-on sentences, there's no punctuation in Greek. So if you've ever been a reader in church, you're used to figuring out where you need to breathe. Because if you don't do it, well, you know that Paul's not going to do it. And so, yeah, there's a lot there. It's best to sort of approach these parts of Paul's letters clause by clause or phrase by phrase. So part of what we have here is Paul's hope for those who believe, people who belong to this church in Ephesus. Let's see. He wants us to receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we might know Jesus better and better. And the good news is we can know Jesus at any point and at any time, because at the end he says that Jesus fills all things and is in all things. So, interesting. Why does he talk about that? Well, let's back up a little bit. This feast, the Feast of the Ascension, is literally us with the apostles, perhaps, saying goodbye to the terrestrial life of Jesus. At least for now. But this marks the occasion when Jesus left the earth. He was... You know, we don't really know how to put this well, but so I'll just say how the Bible says it. We believe that Jesus sort of floated up to heaven. It's weird, okay? It's weird. That's all there is to it. It's weird. It would have been still weird, but less weird to people who were reading this when Paul was writing, and when the gospel writers were writing, because they didn't understand the earth and the sky and the core of the earth and outer space the same way we do. In their mind, what we now inhabit is this space between two large bodies of water. Above the sky, or what we know as the sky, is a body of water, and beneath the earth is a different body of water. And sometimes, like in a roof, and their roofs were leaky back then, there would be a leak in the sky, and that's what rain was. It's when that's when the water is sort of, they imagined it as a dome, you know, because that's what the sky looks like in the plains, right? It looks like it's a dome over us, because one, they certainly didn't believe that the earth was round, and they didn't understand, you know, they didn't understand how it ended. They didn't understand space. They knew that there were things out there, beyond sort of the clouds, but what they were, they didn't know. We know that the Greeks and the Romans thought they were gods, right? Jupiter, Saturn, Mars, these were Zeus, Ares. These were, so yeah, so they didn't understand what was going out there. And so when you have Jesus coming in, and he's floating, well, he's floating or flying up. That was where they believed heaven to be. And beneath the ground was Sheol, or Hades, or hell. And so obviously Jesus was going to go up to be seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what they kind of see God as, a king, and his throne is in heaven, or above this dome in the sky. And so that's what this feast is all about. So what does that have to do with what Paul's talking about? Okay. This is going to be... this is going to be a maybe too on the nose type of thing, but there's a part in Star Wars, the first Star Wars, where what's his name? Obi-Wan Kenobi says to Darth Vader, "If you strike me down, I will become more powerful than you can imagine." And Jesus kind of has the same thing happen. We can bet that if one drew inspiration from another, Star Wars drew inspiration from the Gospels and from Paul's writings. But anyway, Jesus is, as Paul says, in all things and fulfilling all things. Okay, so where are we at with this? Let's back up. We've already talked a little bit about creation, the sort of how we view creation. One of the things that's happening here is creation is fallen, right? We believe that something bad happened with creation. Elsewhere in Paul's writings, it talks about, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What we're seeing in Christ is this firstborn of the new creation. Jesus is the remaking of creation the way God intended it to be made. God made Adam, and Adam messed it up. And then the rest of the world is imbued with chaos, is imbued with sin, is imbued with sickness, is imbued with danger. In Jesus, we have God's... take two, right? Except this time, you know, the human that is made is incarnate by God, and that's Jesus. So, what we have here is God is saying all of creation is imbued with Jesus. Jesus is in all things and fulfills all things after he's ascended into heaven. And so that's crazy. Right? That is, you know, everything, I'm looking at my desk right now, this cup of coffee, these lights, this mouse, this dog underneath my desk, they're all shot through with Christ's dignity, if you will. And so the whole, all of creation is full of Christ. And that's pretty crazy. I think so often we are quick to, we sort of put an emphasis on heaven and de-emphasize earth, and what, well, for my money, what Jesus is trying to do in his work is sort of trying to sew these two together, right? He sort of is the pre-existing Logos. He comes down and becomes man or human or anthropos in Greek. And he lives and dies as one of us. And then he, in this ascension, goes back up and becomes, but still as a human being. So it's kind of like sewing heaven and earth back together again. He brings the creatureliness. Sometimes we think that Jesus, when he's up in heaven, has like a super heaven body, or they go back to Star Wars, has like a Ben Obi-Wan Kenobi ghost body. That's not the case. Jesus is up in heaven, or over in heaven, or just in heaven with a human body just like yours. If you're a human being listening to this, Jesus has a human body just like yours, just like mine, and that is in heaven right now. And it's sort of like Jesus is trying to break down this perceived distance between the two. And he's always trying to break down barriers in so many ways. But anyway, this is what Ascension Day is all about. This sort of erasure and sort of the complete, if you've ever seen a sewing machine, or if you've ever done any sewing, there's always the part where you, if you've got two pieces of fabric, you go down, right? And they're connected, but you got to come back up in order to make it secure. And you got to complete the stitch, if you will. And Jesus's ascension sort of completes the stitch of the sewing back together of heaven and earth, because we know that God intended for there to be a little distinction between, God wouldn't have made creation just to be distant from it, right? Doesn't that make sense? God created creation because he is love, and love is generative, and he loves us. God made us because he loves us, and it's not, he doesn't love us because he created us, even though that's true, but he created us because he loves us. And so it's us, it's sinfulness, looking at Adam and Eve, it's that first sin that separates God from creation, a fallen creation, if you will. Maybe you've heard that before. But here, so that creates a tear, right? There's a tear between heaven and earth. Humans try to mend the tear themselves in the Tower of Babel, but God's like, nope, I don't think that's going to happen. Let me take care of that myself. And so later so the tower doesn't go well. If you check out Genesis, if you want to learn more about the Tower of Babel. But it's not until Jesus that we see the down stitch, if you will, of heaven and earth being sewn back together. And John's gospel portrays this the best, I think. And that's why I like John's gospel the best. But The other Gospels, you can kind of see a little bit, you can get a sense of that. But anyway, Ascension Day is the day that we're celebrating today. It's 10 days before Pentecost. And this is the day that we celebrate the upstitch of heaven and earth being sewn back together by God's love in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's going to be another downstitch in 10 days called Pentecost, but maybe we'll talk about that then. But anyway, that's what, that is, I think, a good place to stop. I've rambled quite a bit. I don't know if you'll like this or not, but we'll find out. So that's my Ascension Day podcast by the Amphibolis blog. I hope that you are find a way to keep the feast today. I would highly recommend champagne, you know, as those bubbles float up. A friend of mine, Clay Calhoun, we used to have fried chicken and champagne on Ascension Day, and I would commend that to you as well. So I hope you have a great Ascension Day. I hope that you rejoice in the fact that God has, on this Ascension Day, completed the sewing back together, or at least the first stitch of sewing heaven and earth back together. And in 10 days, when the Holy Spirit comes down, we'll start another stitch of the sewing. So until then, God bless you, God keep you, and you keep the faith. Bye.